But in times like this,
yes.
You know, I was dismayed to hear last week there was another mass shooting in this nation. It's like, again? And I thank God I haven't become numb to it, because it seems like there's so many of those, you could get to that place. But think of the lost lives and the families that have been just destroyed by these crazy, fanatic people that live in this country of ours. And Lord have mercy. It just seems like it just keeps coming, keeps coming, keeps coming. So in times like this, we do need an anchor. We do, and there's no question about it. I don't know about you, but with everything that's going on, it seems to me the world is getting darker and darker and darker. Seems like every time I listen to the news, it's filled with depressing updates. One after another after another. Shootings, mobs, mounting tensions all over the globe, not just in America, all over the world. People are like just in distress, and violence is everywhere. Surging skirmishes, some new natural disaster happens. It seems like it just keeps coming. Plagues and variants of plagues, and is this vaccination going to hold with all the stuff that's going on? Is that people are distressed all over.
Yes.
Seems to me how dim the world is becoming is a reflection of the heart of man. Mm-hmm. To me, it does. It seems the Bible tells us there's no good thing in the heart of us. That, and it seems like to me the dimness of this world, how dark it's becoming, is because the heart of people. It's such a contrast when you consider the great Creator who said on one fateful moment in time, let there be light. And then there was light.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes.
But it seemed ever since the fall of man, found in the book of Genesis chapter 3, it seemed like light's been impacted ever since. This growing darkness may be fearful for some of us. You know, some people don't even know if it's okay to go out and go shopping. You don't know who you might encounter, what you might run into. Is it safe to drive on the interstate?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, nobody did this to me, but something happened on my way coming here to the church, I think, and this happened last week. I'm driving. And I see this semi-truck in front of me swerve to the left. And I'm in the far left-hand lane on the interstate. He swerves really suddenly to the left. And then the car behind him swerved really suddenly to the left. And then now I see why everybody's swerving. This huge green trash can is in the middle of the road.
Oh, no.
Going 70 miles an hour. And here I come up on this trash can. Oh, should I say that on recorded? I think I'm just a little bit above 65, I think. But there I was going down the interstate, and I couldn't swerve hard enough to get out of the way of this thing. And I didn't want to, because I might lose control of the vehicle. So I swerved just enough, and it, bam, it hit the corner of my car right in the front. And that thing hit it so hard, it just took off in the air like a boomerang. And I don't know what happened after that, because I was down the interstate by that time. And I finally got to a place to stop to see what damage was done. And it's like a little scuff on the side of my car, but the molding had been knocked out of place and popped out of spot. And I'm like, I tried to push it back in, but I couldn't. I didn't want to break anything. So I'm like, okay, I got to take this to the dealership. And then I came here to church, and we were working on the sound system. And Deacon Holloman said, let me see if I can put that thing in place. And he started working it, and it popped right back in place like it was brand new. And it was at that moment I began to reflect, in times like this, riding down the interstate, minding my own business, and there was mishap, but who was it that guided that vehicle and kept me safe? Who was it that prevented that object from bouncing up and popping into the windshield and coming through into the car, the platform of the car? God did that. In times like this, we need an anchor in the rock. Amen. Amen. So, but fear's around us, and how do we protect ourselves? How do we think about all this that's going on as the world is getting darker? And I want you to turn with me to Psalm 27. It's a comforting psalm. It's one of them favorite ones that you could fall back on and draw strength. No matter what it is that might be terrorizing you. And this psalm is written by David. It's such a powerful, powerful discourse that he writes, this poetic, gifted man of God. Psalm 27, verse 1, King James Version, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" My beloved, it's from those passages I want to focus today on the topic, a dimming world. A dimming world. Let us pray. Precious God Almighty, we're so grateful for all that you've done in this service and permitted us to do. We hope, God, that you have counted that in our favor, that you've been pleased with what we have said and done, Lord. Now, as we've reached the point in the moment of preaching, God, I ask that you take this temple, do what thou must, so that the words that come from my mouth would be those you would have uttered into the ears of those that are listening. Let me not speak of my own intellect, my own experiences, my own purpose, my own desires, unless it's in concert with what you want to have happen today, oh God. I surrender, I give myself to thee as a willing vessel to speak to your people. Unstopped ears, God, make hearts receptive that we may walk this race all the way to the end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's key Bible verse appears in this powerful psalm, Psalm 27, written by David. Y'all remember David, right?
Yes.
David, the shepherd boy who fought off a bear and a lion. That same David who tumbled a giant who was the champion of the Philistines. The same David who calmed a vexed king who wanted to take David out. David, the one who was a mighty general, who won numerous battles for King Saul and who commanded the mighty men of valor. This same David who God referred to as a man after his own heart. This same David faced plots of assassination more than once in his life and some pretty terrifying moments. This same one is that gifted poetic musician, the lover of God, and Israel's second king. And in Psalm 27, it seemed that David is either reminding himself or encouraging himself or restating what it is he already has accepted. And throughout Psalm 27, we find that David is affirming his love and trust and his faith in the God who he loves. My beloved, if you're ever fearful, this psalm may encourage you with a powerful message of hope, and it may instill more confidence in our God. That even when your father and your mother forsake you, according to that word, God will take you up or rescue you. But let me zero in specifically on verse 1. That's where I want to really dwell for today's message.
Amen.
For there again it says, the Lord, David says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Permit me to say a few words about light. Light versus dark. For we know that they are polar opposites. And oftentimes we find that light represents that which is good and that which is pure and that which is holy. And dark represents just the opposite, that which is bad, wicked, or unholy. And my beloved, I think it's easy to say that we should desire the light as opposed to the dark. And that light which is God. This is further defined and illustrated for us in the New Testament in that first chapter of John, where we find that it says, in the beginning was the Word. And that the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that the Word became flesh. We know that Word is describing Jesus the Christ. And then if you drop down to like verse 4, you'll find in that same book, First John chapter 1, it tells us that Jesus is the life, and he is the light that was the light of men. Get that? Jesus is the light of men. Talk about light. This light that shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, according to John chapter 1, verse 5. Comprehended it not. Didn't understand. Could not stand against or oppose. The light must surrender. The dark must surrender to that light. I'll say some more about light in just a moment, because that's really where I want to dwell. But let me continue on with this Psalm 27 and verse 1, where David, again, he says that God is not only David's light, but also his salvation. Salvation, that Hebrew word that's translated to salvation is sometimes translated into safety or deliverance or rescue or victory. So David is saying and declaring that God, as his light, as his deliverer, God is that safety for him, that God is his victory.
Yes.
And after declaring that God is his light and that God is his salvation, David asks, in my mind, a rhetorical question. He says, who shall I fear? If God is all of that, what do I have to be afraid of? Whatever may come, whether it's threatening, injury, attack, poverty, persecution, illness, or trash can in the middle of the highway, the Lord still is the light and salvation. Likewise, we need to remind ourselves of this very thing. It is still true today as it was when David penned it, even in our dimming world today. Next, David in verse 1 continues to say that the Lord is the strength of his life. Now, that word strength, that Hebrew word translated into strength, sometimes means fortress or fort or hold or rock, place or means of safety. It sounds like that's a good place to be, doesn't it? And after declaring that the Lord is his strength, David asks another rhetorical question. He says, of whom shall I be afraid? So it seems to me David talked about fear. He talked about being afraid. And no matter what we find, my beloved, there's no need to be terrorized if God is your strength.
Amen.
Now let's contrast this with Psalm 118, verse 6. There we'll find these words recorded. It says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Well, that sounds confident, doesn't it? It sounds like a reliance that God has my back. But listen how it sounds when you bounce over into the New Testament. Romans chapter 8, verse 31, it says, what shall we then say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? You see, my beloved, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, it's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Now let's go a little deeper now with this word light, because that's really where I want to spend the bulk of this message, light. I feel that's where God wants us to examine more closely. Now remember, Jesus in John chapter 1, we found that Jesus is that light, and the darkness comprehended him not. Mm-hmm. That pure light, and in a dimming world he has always been, is always, and will always be the light of men, women, and children. Will always be that. Now listen to a simple illustration of light. You ever wake up in the middle of the night and you don't want to turn the lights on because you might be laying next to your spouse and you don't want to disturb that person's sleep? So you leave the lights out and you try to make your way to the bathroom because that's where you want to go. And on your way there, you stub your toe because something was on the floor. And that hurts in the dark. It seems like it hurts more in the dark than it does in the light. Right? And if the room had only been lit, you might have been able to avoid that pain. But my beloved, I say it's like that in real life, that if we stay in the light, the pain is going to be less severe. If we stay in the light, we can probably avoid some of those painful things and the painful decisions that we make that can harm us and others. Is right. You see, my beloved, I say this, that if you're going to experience pain anyway, and Jesus was clear. Amen. Jesus said, they persecuted me, they'll persecute you too. That means we're going to go through struggle as well. But isn't it better to go through struggle in the light than in the dark?
Amen.
To know that God is your strength, to know that God is your light, to know that God is your salvation. Isn't it better to have that to be true when you're going through pain than to not have that? Nothing to lean on? Oh, yes, it's right. Yes, indeed. So Jesus said to the believers this. Being he as the pure light, he said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. He said, ye are the light of the world. You get that? Who's ye? Us-ums that are sitting here and us-ums that are on the phone. We-us. All of us who are in Christ are the light of the world. Now let us contrast the light that we are versus the light that Jesus is. For Jesus, that pure light, the Hebrew word is or, and it means good, pure, holy. And the light that comes from us is phos. The Hebrew word is phos, or excuse me, not Hebrew, both of those. The Hebrew word is the Greek word, excuse me, is phos, and the Greek word means to shine. So Jesus is the light, but we're to shine. You see the contrast and the difference? In other words, we are not that light. That's what the Bible said about John the Baptist. He is not that light, but he came to reveal that light to people as a witness for he who was to come. So if we're not that light, then how do we shine? That's the perfect question. The way we shine is we reflect that light that is the pure light. In other words, we look like that. We take on the qualities of that and we reflect that into this dimming world. Jesus said to us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Thus our light is reflected in our works. And our works, when done well, glorify our Father who is in heaven.
Amen.
The good we do captures the attentions of others. And in a dimming world, we must pierce this darkness with light.
Yes.
With God's light, with God's word, with God's love, with God's mercy. All of the characteristics of God, we must reflect that into this world. I want to thank David. I want to thank him for reminding us that the Lord is our light. When dimming or fearful moments arise, let me give you one more example about light. If you take a candle and you set the wick on fire and you put it in the middle of a well-lit room, you can barely notice the candle. But if you start to turn the lights down in that room, that candlelight becomes more and more noticeable.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
That, my beloved, is what I believe should be happening in this world that's growing darker and darker and darker, is that those that are reflecting the light should be more visible in that darkness.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
And I don't know about you, but I'm just tired of stubbing my toe in darkness. I want the light. I'd rather avoid the pain of wandering around in darkness. I can't turn back from the light, to be honest. I've been in the light too long. I've experienced it too long to want to have anything else but that. The Lord is my light too, David, and he is my salvation too, David. My beloved, if you have not accepted that light, you got to do so today.
Amen.
This is not a moment to allow to slip by when God is beckoning to you, knocking at the door of your heart, asking that you would open and let him in. The light wants to come and flood you. And even those of us who accepted Christ a long time ago, but maybe our light is getting a little bit faint over time.
Amen.
You know, we've been in the storm too long, perhaps. We've been dealing with all kinds of stuff, and we just feel like we're losing our energy. We're losing our direction, and we don't have that brilliant light we once have. But I want you to consider, if that's your case, consider Psalm 18, verse 28. For the psalmist wrote, "For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." My beloved, if you need your light stoked up and turned brighter, invite God to touch your wick and turn up the heat.
Amen.
To light or to relight your wick.
Amen.
That you might blaze bright before God. Put the spotlight on darkness, my beloved. This world truly needs light.
Yes, it does.
And this is your time to shine.
Yes, yes.
Say that to somebody else. Say, this is your time to shine.
Yes.
And them prophets and the saints before us did what they had to do. Now it's our turn to shine. Now, here's what I found out about light. My little bitty old light could probably do a little bit of something. But if you take your little bit of light and put it with my little bit of light, we got a little bit more light operating. Let me put it to you like this. If you take one candle in a dark room, it could begin to start to light up the room. But if you take hundreds of candles, and you could probably light up an auditorium.
Amen.
If you take millions, you could probably light up the world. That right there is a message about unity and working our light together in concert. Every candle is needed. Everyone. No one can be omitted. All are called to let their light shine. While others will operate in darkness. They'll lie, they'll cheat, they'll steal, they'll try to convince people to go right when they know they should be going left. All of this stuff is operating today in this time. But we don't have time for that.
Amen.
Time is winding up. However long it's going to be, I don't even know how long I'm going to be on this planet. I don't have time for messing around and just being idle.
Amen.
No time. So we got to shine our light, but how do we do that? It's the works that we do that glorify the Father. Works like what? What kind of works can we do? We can demonstrate love to the homeless, to the orphans, to the widows. We can demonstrate love to our neighbor, even if they don't like us. Oh, wait a minute now, Reverend. You had me in this service up to this point, but now you're telling me I got to love my enemy? No, I'm not telling you that. Jesus told you that. Love your enemy. Now, I don't know about you, but I'll be honest. I can tell you that's hard to do sometimes. It depends on how much they hurt you. It can be hard to do. But no matter how hard it is, you got to remember what David said about the Lord. The Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the Yahweh of all creation, the Creator. He said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation."
Yes.
Then he goes on to say, "The Lord is my strength." And if God is all of that, I don't care how hard it is to do, we do it anyway.
Yes.
May not like it. Eventually, God changes our heart where eventually we become comfortable with that. But don't wait till you get comfortable to do what you know you should do. When you got discomfort and being loving to somebody that's not loving back to you, do it anyhow. I don't know if I'm speaking to anybody about some family generational stuff that might be going on and people having like just buried a hatchet. Not in their backs, but buried in the sand, just saying, okay, it's over with.
Yes.
We're not doing this anymore. It's time for a change. This is not befitting of a child of God. This is not how we're supposed to behave. I'm not like that anymore. I don't want to be.
Amen.
Change me, God. Change my heart. David says, search me and see. You try me. Prove. You know, if God did that, a whole lot of stuff would shake out of this preacher. He's still shaking and still pruning me. Thank you, God, for that. He's doing that with each of us. Readying us for heaven. Now, that is a glorious place to think about. When we realize that that's where we're going to land, when we realize that's where we're going to end up, it becomes a little easier to take the abuse that we receive on this side because of what's promised on the other side.
Amen.
So, my beloved, I encourage you to remember his statement, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?"
Amen.
You know, too often we find people that are fearful because they don't want to shine their light because people will notice them. They don't want to be noticed because maybe fear, or maybe they have the spirit of Jonah that we read about in Sunday school this morning. No, I know if I tell them, they might become saved, but I don't want them saved. I don't want to see them in heaven. You know, that's an attitude. I don't know anybody that feels like it. I hope and pray nobody feels like that. But just in case you do, I got news for you. It's not your choice. God's the one who decides who makes it and who doesn't. And you know what? I'm kind of glad that he's not asking me for my opinion because I know I'm going to mess it up. So I encourage you, my beloved, that with that confidence in God's word stir in us, that we would shine bright in this dimming world. Don't get caught up in all the emotions of the moment that try to drive us into places where we are anger and all of that stuff starts to stir up inside of us. We must remember our role on this stage called life. Let our light so shine that people will see our good works and glorify the Father. Wow. So we're talking about light. And I wondered if you would just join me in a song at the end of this message. We'll close out with this song. And it's simply words we all know. "This Little Light of Mine." Isn't that the way we started off?
Yes.
And Deaconess Dozier, you didn't know I was going to end that way.
Sure,
so you see how good God is? It's become the bookends of the service.
Yes, sir.
Is God good or what? Come on, y'all. Let's hear it. Everywhere I go,
everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine.
Let it shine again.
All over me, I'm gonna let it shine. All over me, I'm gonna let it shine. All over me, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. All in my church, I'm gonna let it shine. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Let's give God glory in the house. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Such a simple message for God's people, that we remember who we are and whose we are. We have a role to play. Let nobody get you off your task. Nobody, let nothing distract you. Shine, my beloved. Shine for God.